The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's 6:06 on a Friday, and you know what that means. On the Bruce Hooley Show, at least, it means it's time for Ask the Attorney, which is our opportunity to ask of our partners at Willis Spangler Starling the questions that you have submitted via email and Facebook. Bruce Hooley Show on Facebook or Bruce at 989theanswer.com. And as always, we're happy to have Stan Willis with us. Willis Spangler Starling, located on Truman Boulevard in Hilliard, specialists at workers' compensation, Social Security disability, also personal injury, wills, estate planning, probate, all that. Willis Spangler Starling can get that done for you. Stan, enjoying the rain, I would imagine, today, and looking forward to the weekend, the U.S. Open and Father's Day.
Doing my best to dodge the raindrops, man.
All right. Well, let's get right to it. We have four questions. First one says, I think I heard you say on an earlier show that your fee for a workers' comp case is set by state law. Is the amount a person receives in benefits also capped by the state? I assume it can't be more on a weekly basis than whatever you were making when employed.
Well, that's a big question. On the previous show, I think what I said was that Social Security fees are set by the federal government. The state doesn't set fees for workers' comp, except for in a couple of very specific instances for certain types of awards. But overall, they've kind of determined that charging a contingency fee of a third is fair and reasonable, and so that's kind of what everybody does. So the fees aren't technically set by the state, although the Supreme Court of Ohio has jurisdiction over whether or not attorneys are charging an excessive fee.
Okay, and then what about, this question is about benefits.
Well, on the benefits, there are several different kinds of benefits in workers' comp, and for temporary total benefits, which is like the replacement of salary, I believe it's 75% of your regular wage up to, I think, $600 a week. But I would have to look those numbers up to be exactly sure.
Okay. But there is some kind of a formula in place for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the benefits that you receive for most people are not typically the same amount as they would receive from regular wages. It's usually, it's like an employment, it's something less than what you would receive.
Okay, very good. That is question number one on Ask the Attorney. We're with Stan Willis of Willis Spangler Starling. You can find their firm online at willisattorneys.com, W-I-L-L-I-S, willisattorneys.com. Question two, how realistic is it to ask an attorney how long a personal injury case will take to reach its conclusion, or how many hours the attorney will have to devote to it? So I guess the person is wondering what their involvement with their attorney might be, okay, estimating how long a case would take.
I would say that, as a general rule, experienced attorneys can kind of give you what I would call an educated guess as to about how long it will take to do a case. But the problem is every case is different, mm-hmm. and there are factors that the attorney doesn't control that weigh into how long it will take. For instance, most of the time you don't really want to settle a case until you're finished treating.
True. Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
So if you're continuing to get medical treatment, it's pretty hard to wrap the case up because you don't really, especially if you have serious problems that are being addressed, it gets difficult to kind of figure out what those thing that plays into that is the statute of limitations is 2 years from the date of injury. So if you start pressing up on that 2 year date and you haven't reached a settlement, then you have to file suit. Once a suit's filed, you could literally take anywhere from 6 months if you settle to a year or two if you actually have to end up going into court. So from the date that you're injured, I would say your typical case is probably at least 6 months, and then it could go anywhere between 6 months and 4 or 5 years, depending on how complex and how hard the opposition disputes.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, some of it is out of your hands, right? Because if you have the other side, two people have to agree to end a case by settlement, and then you're kind of a prisoner of the court docket too.
Right. So you have all those things, and then most cases don't actually end up being filed into court, and most cases that are filed into court don't actually end up going to trial. But those things are always a possibility, and all of those personalities and things play into how long it takes to finish a case.
So. Sure. Makes sense to me. We're with Stan Willis, and Stan is with Willis Spangler Starling, an attorney firm located on Truman Boulevard in Hilliard. They're my attorney firm, and I certainly think they should be yours. If you're looking for a firm that will represent you with the greatest acumen, also integrity and character, you're looking for Willis Spangler Starling. And their specialties, workers' comp, personal injury, all the biggies, but they can handle anything or help you find someone if they are not prepared to handle your case or their caseload is too heavy. They can certainly help you find someone else. WillisAttorneys.com is their website. Number three this week, Stan. The person says, we hear a lot in the news about police officers being hesitant to report other police officers if they see them do something that violates police policy. How does that work in the legal profession? Attorneys are dealing with other attorneys all the time, sometimes in a very adversarial situation. Is there a hesitancy to report them to the state licensing board? Do other attorneys frown on that?
I mean, this is a human nature question, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I just have said before, like, nobody wants bad cops caught more than good cops. And I would assume that it's the same with attorneys. I know it's the same with journalists. You don't, you know, I'll be the first person to acknowledge somebody else ask a dumb question.
Right. So, you know, I think that at the end of the day, every attorney wants, we all want everybody, I wouldn't say every attorney, but most of us want other attorneys to behave ethically and all those kinds of things. But, you know, if you work in a warehouse and your coworkers taking a nap and doing some other stuff like that, I think you're hesitant as a coworker to get involved. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
I think that's sort of human nature. So we actually, attorneys are, in the ethics code, if we know that an attorney is breaching the code of ethics, we are actually bound to report that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people don't have the ethics code hanging over top of them. But, you know, I'd say, sure, there's human nature involved in all this stuff, and, you know, most of the time you kind of want to look the other way and not really get involved. But I think at the end of the day, everybody wants everybody else to, you know, behave in a reasonable fashion. I think the same thing is true of police officers, but, you know, there's a line that you have to walk about, you know, whether you're reporting behavior that's really bad, or, you know, I mean, there's just this whole thing about what repercussions are you going to have. I think that's just human nature.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, you know, what I think is, I think that all of us should probably just do the right thing.
that would be ideal, yeah.
but you know, I think that human nature is such that sometimes we just don't want to get involved.
No doubt about it. Stan Willis is our guest. This is Ask the Attorney. You can submit your questions via our Facebook page, the Bruce Hooley Show Facebook page. Easy to find. And you can also email your questions, bruce@9890answer.com. We'll wrap with this one. Here is somebody who works in a warehouse. They say, I work in a warehouse. I operate a lift truck. I have a safety harness I'm supposed to fasten whenever I drive the truck or move pallets. I don't always fasten it for what I think aren't dangerous situations. I didn't have it fastened last month because I wasn't working very high, but I assume he means like a high, you know, high place lift. I lost my balance and slipped off. My back has been sore ever since, and it's getting worse. Since this was my fault, do I have a claim for the injury? I guess they mean since he didn't have his belt fastened, and that's the protocol.
Well, I think first of all, I've got to get on my soapbox. I mean, you know, when we think about, say, driving a car, right?
Yeah.
For a 16-year-old who's just learning, that is an inherently dangerous situation.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So what we do is we train them and get them experience so that, you know, within several months or maybe for some of us numerous years, we actually get to the point where we can operate the car safely. And so when we're sitting in the car, we don't feel like that's an inherently dangerous activity, right?
Sure. No, you're right.
But cars still have crumple zones, and they still have airbags, and we still wear seatbelts.
Yes, we do. That's right.
And we do all those things because even though we believe that our operation of the vehicle is safe, we understand that there's a risk associated with operating the vehicle and that there's a potential for accidents. With workplace safety equipment, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, if you operate a lift or you walk across the catwalk every day that's 30 feet high, if you walk across that catwalk 10 times every day, at some point you're going to feel like this is really just not that dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that if you have safety equipment and you don't use it, I mean, you just think about, like, how many times have you walked down the sidewalk to your driveway? But you might slip and fall one time, or
sure,
you might trip over something one time, even though you've done it thousands of times. So the idea of the safety equipment is to guard against accidents that happen, not to guard against things that are inherently dangerous. So to decide that a situation is not dangerous, so I'm not going to use my safety equipment, it's just not a wise thing to do.
Right. Well, I agree with that. So he's made the mistake. Now
that's the soapbox part.
That's
now,
good. You were good.
What I would say then is if you aren't using the workers' comp system is no fault. So if you're hurt in a workplace accident, even if you weren't using your safety equipment, the injury may still be compensable. There are some things, like if you were using alcohol or drugs, that could make your case not compensable. But for the most part, if you're hurt at work, it doesn't matter whose fault it was. The injury is still compensable. The other things that surround that, though, are if you wait too long to file a case, then you start having a proof issue because the longer you wait, and I think we talked about this before, the longer you wait or if you didn't report the injury at first, you have to be able to prove that the injury occurred at work.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer you wait and the question of whether or not you reported the injury at the time, those things weigh into the proof factor of whether you can prove that the injury occurred at work. The other thing that plays into this is if you have safety equipment, there are certain places that there are penalties for not using the safety equipment. Companies do that because the companies get penalties if people aren't reusing the safety equipment. And conversely, if your company has disabled some safety equipment, you're going to want to report that, right? Because the safety equipment is there to protect you. So if you're not using safety equipment, there could be some penalty that happens to you, like your salary could be docked, or maybe you could be terminated for not using the safety equipment. So I think all those things kind of weigh in there, but in the end, the question of whether or not you could have a workers' comp, a compensable injury, absolutely you could.
Sure. Well, bottom line, wear your seatbelt, kids. Wear your seatbelt. Uncle Stan will come after you.
Oh, I'm not going to come after you.
You
might find yourself hurt worse than you need to be.
That's right. Hey, my friend, thank you. Happy Father's Day to you and your lovely family. Appreciate your appearance on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
It is 6:25 on the Bruce Hooley Show. Thanks to Stan Willis and Willis Spangler Starling for joining us with Ask the Attorney. Don't forget to order your MyPillow. It's a little late for Father's Day unless you get expedited shipping, but a pillow would be a great gift. My slippers would be a great gift, 40% off when you use the promo code Bruce. Order by phone, 800-856-9340. 800-856-9340. You can order at MyPillow.com. Browse the Giza Dream bed sheets. We have those and really love them, and I'm a big fan of the mattress topper. It's great to have a nice, soft but firm mattress topper that does not, I don't know how, allow you to sweat in the night. The old mattress topper we had was great from a softness and comfort standpoint. Problem is, I woke up like in a sweat in the hot months. Doesn't happen with the MyPillow mattress topper. Just part of the innovative research that Mike Lindell does with all his products. 800-856-9340, 800-856-9340. The pillow will cost you less than $30, the Queen Premium, which is way less than half of what I paid, and it's worth every penny that I paid for it, about $70 retail. But it's $29.98 right now when you order at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Bruce. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Bruce. Columbus has recorded its 90th homicide. 90th. So we are more than halfway to our record total of 174 homicides last year, and we are not at the halfway point of the year yet. In fact, last year, we did not record our 90th homicide until August 23rd. We are still more than 2 months ahead of that pace. This one happened as a result of a shooting on Sunday. This is goofy to me. A woman and her the father of her two-year-old child were having an argument Sunday. He came at her. She pulled out a gun. They fell on the couch. She shot him. He was bleeding profusely when the cops showed up. Took him to the hospital. He lingered for 4 days, and he died. So you think, okay, well, they go down to the Franklin County lockup, and they charge her with, murder, or they charge her with manslaughter, or what? No, they can't, because she's out on bond because she was in for felonious assault. Now, I suppose maybe this is how this works, but it seems odd to me that somebody who has not emerged from an incident in which they are grievously injured, that you would turn loose the person who inflicted those injuries. So they are looking for 36-year-old Princess A. Brown. And the victim is 41-year-old Kevin Ankum. So that is, that's a thing that happened, and it's very, very sad. The violence in our city continues, and it shows no signs of abating. It is, Columbus, inner cities everywhere, scary places right now. Los Angeles, San Francisco, St. Louis, Baltimore, Detroit. You feel safe in any American city? New York? I don't. I used to love going to big cities. Big city downtowns, loved it. Chicago, what a nightmare. That's pure deflection on the part of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Yesterday, she declared systemic racism a public health crisis. You know what's a public health crisis in Chicago? Her mayoral policies. I mean, last Father's Day weekend, they had over 100 people shot in Chicago. How many this weekend? Maybe the weather will keep people inside if it's a stormy weekend. We have tornado watch, warning. We have conditions that could lead to a tornado present until 11 o'clock tonight. Next, Columbus drag queen Nina West, embraced by Children's Hospital, now getting another gig where they'll give her access to lots and lots of kids. Shameful.